Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
About two episodes in the premiere and all that bullshit. Now we're actually doing an episode.
Yeah, we're actually doing the real podcast.
A shitty one, but still. It's when Data gets laid.
Oh, dude, most of the first season is going to be shitty. Wait till we get to the one where they kidnap Tasha Yar because that, you know, African dude wants to marry her or something.
That one's, I think that's the next one.
Jesus Christ.
Or the one that was about Tasha Yar's, like, how she grew up with the rape gangs. And,
oh, God.
That episode sucks because I just cared so little for that character.
At that point,
I was like, I don't care if she gets raped at all. They really don't care.
To be honest, she's not. I wouldn't rape her. She's not that interesting.
She wasn't that hot. I mean, she was cute, but come on.
Yeah. All right. Shall we start this?
Not rape worthy. I don't know how. I don't know how this conversation was going to continue.
I stopped it before it got weird, but you took it there.
Well, you know, I just wanted to finish it off.
Oh.
All right, let's go.
With no tell. welcome, everybody, to the Away Team here on the Lazy Geeks Network, our podcast that's solely dedicated to Star Trek Next Generation. Each podcast is dedicated to one episode, unless it's a two-parter, then it's the both parts. But yeah, whatever. You get it. if you listen to podcast number one, which it was our Adam said it sounded like we were bashing it, but I thought we were just having a lot of fun with it. Podcast number one, Encounter at Farpoint. And if you've seen that episode, you know exactly what we're talking about. So yeah, we're doing it. Or Adam, we started this, like, Adam's like, yeah, dude, we should totally do, like, every podcast, every episode should be a podcast. I was like, cool. And then when we realized we had to start with the season one, he's like, no, let's just fucking start with, like, season three.
Fuck it.
Fuck it, just go there. It's like, no, you got to commit.
There's a couple of gems, though, in the first two seasons. There and are. I think they're that much better because they're surrounded by, like, the episodes, most of the episodes in season one and two don't completely suck. They're just not exciting. Like, you're just like, that was all right, you know.
Right. Mm.
This one, though, kind of sucks. it sucks in a way that it makes it funny.
Right, right. Well, I think in a lot of instances, especially with this one, it's mostly because of the fact that a lot of times they spend time trying to develop characters that are not worthy of development, I want to say.
Speaking of which, I'm actually not Adam Riley. My name is Armis. And if you understand that reference, you understand I don't like Tasha Yar at all. because that's the life form that killed Tasha Yar on Vagra 2.
Oh, man.
Bitch. I actually thought that character was dope. He was just so fucking evil.
Yeah. I was just, the way it killed her. But we'll get to that episode.
Insignificant bitch. That base just dead.
Yeah, I know. It was just kind of like...
You're no longer on the show.
They treated her character like the way she wanted to be left.
I wouldn't have even been upset if Armis went, you've been cut from the show. Like, literally said that in the episode. I would have nodded my head. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
I agree.
Yeah. You're no longer worthy of being on the show. Please go home. Go do a solo cover, please.
Go to Pet Cemetery already.
Ooh. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. So take us to the synopsis.
It's so mean. All right. So let me paint a picture for you. The year is 2364. Stat 8, 41209.2. It's Captain's Log Supplemental. Basically, this episode is an homage to an original series episode, and as with most Star Trek homages, it's literally the same exact thing done with a different crew. Basically, they encounter a ship that's basically a derelict at this point, but the whole crew is dead on the ship. They're all frozen, and they're like, "What the fuck is this?" And then they find out that they did it to themselves. And this is there's like a virus. I forget exactly what it is. It's a virus that basically makes you drunk. Like, right. you don't give a shit. Your inhibitions are gone. They're goofing off. And they kill themselves because they're goofing off. Like, they're messing with the environmentals and stuff. Now, when they went over there, they didn't realize this. And also, for those that don't know, this never works. But the transporter is supposed to filter out like
contaminants.
Yeah, never works. Right. It never works because it makes story plot points, filters out plot points is what right. it does.
As it conveniently also is unavailable.
Yeah.
You know.
So obviously it starts running through the Enterprise, but as we know, the crew of the Enterprise D is far superior to this frozen crew. Right. And they end up figuring it out. But that's the synopsis. Good night.
I'm just kidding. Join us next month when we
join us next month when we talk about an episode that might not suck. No,
but probably will.
I need to see what the next episode is now. Go ahead. Your all turn.
Right. All right. Tag, yeah. All right. So the episode aired October 5th, 1987. This is the first actual regular episode of the new series after the 2-hour pilot. The plot of this episode was based upon the original series episode, The Naked Time, and I like that episode. This one was intended by Gene Roddenberry to serve as a means to quickly introduce the wants and needs of the new characters. Rick Berman maintained, quote, that it was an homage, not a copy. We even mentioned the old Enterprise and its remedy, which doesn't help out our crew after all. John D.F. Black had written the original episode, while J. Michael Bingham is a pseudonym for D.C. Fontana. Fontana asked for her name to be removed after rewrites changed the episode significantly from her original script. On the similarities between the two shows, director Paul Lynch commented that the same basic story holds true in that the Enterprise contracts something from another ship and the crew begins to change. Because it's a new case, they change accordingly. Everybody drops the way they are and lets their inhibitions come out. I'd say that The Naked Now is slightly more comedic than the original in that Sulu picked up a sword and started running around with it. In this, it's much more of a character change in the way of romance and strangeness leading to humor. And it's all quite subtle compared to the original, because the original episode was quite heavy-handed in most of its original, as most of the original episodes were. Personally, on a personal note, I think this episode would have been better later on than being the first one, because we didn't really know these characters. So
I feel the idea was that they're trying to introduce everyone in a familiar way, but the problem is that this is very personal. Like, what's happening to them? Because if you strip someone's inhibitions, you're seeing their true form. you know, and, but we don't know them. Just like you said, we have no idea who these fucking people are.
Right.
You know, so it didn't really define them at all. It just kind of left people like, what the fuck? Everybody's drunk. Like, what's potty and fucking engineering, baby? What?
Yeah, exactly. So like we knew, you know, it didn't like we didn't know a lot of these characters, and like the little part where Picard skips when he goes to see, it was kind of like weird because we didn't know him. Now looking back at the series, it would have
been funnier later on though.
Yeah, like we look at the series now and we're like going, oh yeah, hey, that's funny because Picard does this bit, but it didn't make sense early on. And a couple little little points of interest. This is the only appearance of Lieutenant Commander Sarah McDougall, the chief engineer. After this episode, Lieutenant Commander Argyle, Lieutenant Logan, and Lieutenant Commander Leland T. Lynch all served as chief engineers on the Enterprise B. As described by Riker in Where No Man's Gone Before, the Enterprise D had several chief engineers before Geordi LaForge assumed the position of the ship's sole chief engineer.
Racist.
Yeah, exactly. He burned through so many engineers in this one. Like, what?
No, I'm letting you finish.
Oh, yeah. And this one comes for, this one's from Memory Alpha. This one it just struck me as funny, and I had to bring it on the podcast. This episode takes place 8 years, 7 months, and 16 days before Star Trek First Contact.
Yeah, Star Trek First Contact tends to be when you're talking about Next Generation. You always see it referenced as like a middle point of the timeline of that series. People have it down to like the second.
Well, I think a lot of it's because it's the first full-fledged movie outside of the TV series. Because like even in Generations, even though there's like supposed to be like a few month gap between the end of All Good Things and then Star Trek Generations, you know, the bridge is suddenly vastly different for the movie and all that shit. So,
yeah, it wasn't just a longer episode with Kirk in it.
Right.
Also, speaking of the engineering, I wanted to mention something I noticed on Memory Alpha, and I do remember this from when rewatching the show so many times. This was the only episode where the engineering is lacking the pool table, the center. The big table center console that you always see in engineering. It wasn't added until after this episode. This is also the last episode that you see the glass partitions that were in main engineering. They removed them after this. I think both ideas were incredibly good because if you kind of think back when you saw the episodes of Next Generation, that pool table in the middle really gives a great centerpiece. It's almost like the ready room. Like you're giving a great angle to see everybody talking about a problem. Cause that's really the only reason you have to be in engineering when there's a fucking problem.
Oh, right.
You know, and the way they had it in Farpoint in this episode is everybody's in like this little corner fucking hutch, which is fine when you want to show like people working and shit. But I think that was a great addition, was the pool table, because that's so iconic from the show, big-ass fucking table. And it really was a pool table, by the way, that they just added a bunch of shit to, from what I hear. But, just wanted to, you know, also, first appearance of the 24th Century Medical Tricorder. You're welcome.
Oh, and in this episode, Data uses a contraction.
Yeah, and Tina uses a little more than a contraction in episode. Hey-o!
But he uses a contraction that's blown out, but it wasn't until a few episodes later where it was established in canon that he cannot use contractions. That's what tells him apart from lore.
Yeah, and I think that – wasn't that the main reason they did that?
Yeah.
No. That was the main reason they had lore be able to do that.
Right, because it made him more human.
Yeah. Because it sounds, I cannot.
Yeah.
A fucking Vulcan walking around.
All right. So the episode starts and the Enterprise is arriving at the ship, which I can't remember the name right now. The Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
And it's basically a refitted USS Grissom from Star Trek III.
Yeah.
In I liked it this one because, like, when they arrive and they contact the ship, and she's like, do you have any, you know, it's a female voice, do you have any, you know, handsome men on there? Because I, you know, makes like a sexual joke. It's like the first sexual joke you ever hear in like a Star Trek episode. And then you hear the sound of what sounds like an emergency hatch being blown. My question was, why the hell do you have an emergency hatch in the bridge? Because that ship's not like the Enterprise.
It's a, well, if it crashes on a planet.
Yeah, but if the ship like that, it's gonna not crash well. So most likely,
well, I don't think any ship crashes well, my friend.
Yeah, but like, at least like with the Enterprise D, like the saucer section separated, so it's designed to have a smooth landing. The Chrisom is more like the old, you know, it doesn't.
It would just bounce around if it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem.
I think, and this is, I'm being scientific here. I really do think there's an emergency hatch on the bridge because they wanted it to be dramatic for the scene.
So they didn't have, so they can just show one shot when they go and arrive on when they go and actually arrive on the ship, they can actually look through the portal and just see the captain's chair and an empty hatch. That would
exactly. ooh, I found it. Speaking of the Tchaikovsky, I remember hearing about this, and thankfully it's in Memory Alpha. The dedication plaque for this ship.
Oh.
It lists the NCC number. It's actually in Russian, the plaque, the name of the ship, and it actually says it originates from the USSR. And the USSR, as we all know, was the former Russian communist nation or whatever the fuck designation you're supposed to give it. And it actually dissolved 4 years after this episode. So a little interesting.
Yeah.
It, kind of something in Star Trek that's completely useless.
Yeah, I know, right? So. All right. So Riker, Geordi, Data, and Tasha beam over to the Tchaikovsky, and of course, you know, they walk through the hallway, which is basically a messed up version of the Enterprise with like papers and shit floating around laying around on the floor like a party had gone on. And then of course, you know, instead of actually building a full replica of a bridge, Data and Riker managed to get a visual inside the bridge, and you see that the escape hatch, the emergency hatch has been blown, and a bunch of people have been blown out in space.
In space.
So now, you know, the episode starts, and now they're back at, like, still checking out the ship. And of course, people are frozen, which is a throwback to the original, the Naked Time.
Is that what the original one was called?
Yeah, The Naked Time, yeah. And, you know, and then, of course, they have the person frozen in the shower, which was what they had mentioned in the first one. But, of course, Geordi opens it up, which, here's my thing. If you're going into, like, that frozen of an area, wouldn't you have, like, be careful about what you touch? It's kind of like a crime scene, you know? Like, you had about 80 people that died on that ship, and now you're like,
What compelled him to open the shower in the first place? I forget. Wasn't it running or something like that?
Yeah, there was like something with the door, like that it was making a noise. So he opened it and caught the chick frozen, fully clothed in the shower.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Geordi gets contaminated. You know, Riker checks it with Picard and says, you know, everybody's dead. You know, the dramatic moment, you know, where, you know, he's dead, Jim.
Yeah, kind of like Riker always brings the drama.
Yeah, you know? Riker brings the drama. And then Picard states the obvious. There's over 80 people on that ship. Like, that means something.
He's just trying to drive in the fact that a lot of people died.
Yeah. It's 80 people. It's not like a Galaxy-class ship, which has, like, over 1,000. I mean, come on. It's 80 people. Who
gives a fuck about 80 people?
Yeah, exactly. Starfleet can get that.
CNN wouldn't even cover that.
Exactly. So here's the thing. So of course, the away team has to come back to the ship because there has to be a way for that virus to get to the Enterprise. And so they come back to the Enterprise, and Picard orders an examination of all of them. And this was something that I thought was funny. Like, Beverly's, like, you know, scanning Geordi, you know, like, examining him. But if you watch the, if you watch him, he's hovering over Crusher like a fucking creeper, dude.
Like a fox.
He's like over her shoulder, like looking at her tricorder, like, I need to see everything that you have on here.
Yeah, and he always retains that, let's call it a hands-on approach, right. But they dial it down a lot. Because in this episode, he was just being a dick. Like, let the doctor do her fucking job and back up.
Yeah. And keep in mind that according to Will Wheaton, this is from Memory Alpha, that Jonathan Frakes has always criticized this episode, going as far as calling it the worst segment of The Next Generation he ever did. Of course,
yeah, he hates this episode,
which he forgets. There's also the memory one he did at the end of the season.
That's his favorite episode.
He gets to sleep through it. Saying that he felt totally ashamed by it. However, while recalling the first season at the time near the end of the series, Frakes noted that how much greater the chances the writers took on the show than they did at the end of the series, in contrasting The Skin of Evil, which he described as absurd and one of the season's misses. He described the episode as great, in as far as being the episode which we've never done anything quite like, where everyone got drunk and horny. That was risky. So
that's true.
Yeah.
You know, they took a risk. It kind of fell flat a little bit, but they still took a risk.
Yeah. Which I, again, you know, I think it probably would have had a bigger impact if it was later in the first season.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I think that would have been, you still do in the first season, but later in the first season, I think it would have been better.
Because when even now, if you rewatch this episode, It's more entertaining because right. you've seen all the rest of it. So you know who these people are.
Right, right.
You know, so you're like, you feel more like, oh, what the fuck is Picard skipping, dude?
I
like,
know.
You know. But when I first saw this, I was just confused. I mean, I was young too, but I was confused.
Of course, when they're examining, you know, Geordi starts acting weird. Like, why is it so damn hot in here? You know,
which is one of the key things that pretty much the virus does to you. You get very hot.
Yeah. You get hot and he's, you know,
take your clothes off.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
get crazy.
Start running around a little, start around, you know, to impress the chick.
That guy in the dress from the Farpoint episode.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, you know. He wasn't hot.
The one scene that was cut out was Geordi standing on the medical bed doing helicopter dick right in front of Dr. Crusher. I was wishing it was being on the Blu-ray, but unfortunately wasn't there.
Helicopter dick.
To impress the chick. Helicopter dick.
He would have probably hit everybody in the face doing it because he was such a badass. You know, that dick was long. Motherfucker. Right. Quack, 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 quack.
So Geordi starts acting weird. Now, apparently there's a problem now. So Riker goes up to the bridge saying that, you know, Geordi's acting a little strange. But of course, he's the guy that has, I remember something vaguely familiar about this, you know, the little cheap writer's trick. So he sends Data to try to find basically the past episode. Now, this is one thing that I thought was silly, was you have Geordi. He's in sick bay, not restrained, nothing like that, I guess, on the honor system. Crusher is in her office doing whatever. Geordi gets up and dips out of sick bay.
He's straight dipped, too.
Straight dip. Like, he got him. He's like, peace, you know, and... So
I came here to make money and fuck bitches. I ain't. He fucking left. Like, he went straight for the fucking door. He just dipped.
Got up and dipped. And then she comes out and she's like, you know, she looks outside and then tries to find out where Geordi is. But, and then calls, you know, the bridge and security and stuff like that. Here's the one thing that I thought was interesting. In the first episode, they specifically showed Commander Riker, that chick that wanted that, you know, Riker pip, you know, where's Commander Data? Commander Data is located in Holodeck.
Yeah. They already established that you can. Oh, no, wait a minute. Did No, you're wrong. He took his thing off. His
communicator off. That's right. Okay.
He was like he was hot, and then he ripped it off and he left it on the table.
Right. Okay.
Which is kind of funny to me too. In Star Trek, they're only tracked by this pin that could fall off at any time.
Right. Exactly. Like.
But then later on, they start finding people by biosigns and shit. But I don't know. It's funny.
And my thing is, why did the black man have to get the virus first?
That's the real talk, dude.
I mean, you know, it's like to me, it's an allegory for the AIDS epidemic. Because it's Star Trek's way of saying, see, the AIDS virus came from Africa, came to America, affected the white people, then it became a problem. So here you got Geordi, where everybody's like, see, Geordi's got issues, you know, we got to find out what's wrong with Geordi. And then once he starts affecting, you know, white people, then we got a problem.
Now, see, this line of reasoning, which I know Steve doesn't actually believe, is...
No, no.
is a perfect example of reverse racism, because you know why Geordi was picked? Probably just randomly. But because he's black, there are probably people that go, of course, they purposely put the black man. But what color was the chick? She wasn't just white when she fell out. She was Snow White.
What?
She's fucking mind fucked, dude.
Blown. Mind blown. This episode is actually one of the first episodes that actually shows Wesley as being kind of a genius.
Being smart, yeah.
Yeah.
Even drunk, he was smart.
Yeah, even
smarter than everybody else.
Exactly. Because he creates that the factor beam that lifts the chair up, which is cheesy because it looks like it's just being lifted up by wires and then moved. Exactly, you know.
Special effects.
1987 special effects. Woo.
Hey, that wowed me when I was a kid. I was like, wow.
Now, of course, in that episode, you know, he's like, damn, Wesley, you know, like he's all impressed by Wesley's skills. And then, of course, touches Wesley appropriately.
Yeah, I think he just like patted him on the back.
Yeah, or something.
And they have a little barely notice it sound effect.
Yeah.
That when the transfer, you're which is just there for effect to kind of
it's
tell
wind chimes that, with the string going through.
Yeah, it's just there to tell the viewer,
right?
This motherfucker just caught
because if you're not smart enough, to, you know, they couldn't do it by a close up of his hand touching.
It was the '80s; everybody was high.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone's doing coke. Low and so of course, you know,
doing coke and spending money. That's what the
80s was about. So of course, you know, after he's all hot and bothered, he leaves. And then, you know, security being as profound as they are, they find fucking Geordi in the conference room, staring out the window. Now, keep in mind, he's supposed to be suffering something that he brought from the ship. Yet nobody has any problem touching him, getting close to him. And then when Geordi starts going into the, why can't I want to see like you. And then he starts.
You know what though? That scene was kind of dope. It was kind of deep, dude.
Yeah.
And but again, only because I've seen all of Star Trek.
So like he's touching her face and you know, then you hear the little by the way he was touching her and everything, like I'm surprised he didn't just straight up fuck the bitch right there.
Is he about to give her the D?
Seriously, because he's like feeling her face. He's like, I want to see you. Like, I really want to see you, you know?
I'm trying to see that ass.
Yeah. Like, you expect him to, like, plop her right there on the conference table and just start going, yay.
I did. I do kind of – I think that was one of the stronger scenes in the episode though, because you do kind of feel bad for Geordi.
Right.
Like you see him looking out the window. You're like, what the fuck is this clown doing? Because at the time you don't
the
know.
The blind man looking out the window.
you don't really know. I mean, you know he's blind and he has a device on his face where it's obvious. Right. But you don't really know what he's feeling about it.
No.
You know? So he tells you when he says all that shit at the time, kind of like, I feel bad for this cat, dude. Like, he just wants to see a sunrise, man.
Exactly.
The feels were strong. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying.
Yeah.
So they managed to take him back to engineering. And of course, Yar's infected now. But what has always bugged me is that her acting is just so horrible. It's so stilted. Like, she just has a problem. Like, emoting.
Like, no, it doesn't matter.
Like, Adam emotes more emotion. And this is the most emotionally devoid human being I have ever known. And
it's very true.
And he manages to emote more than Tasha Yar does. Who gets paid for it?
Any line in any scene, in any emotional state she's supposed to be in, her voice is identical.
Yeah.
You could close your eyes and you would have no fucking idea how she felt. Right. Now, she emotes a bit physically, like she'll throw her arms up or something like that. But that's overdone because she's overcompensating for the lack of verbal emoting.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So it's
So, of course, Yar starts showing signs because immediately she starts sweating. Unless she was like, oh, Jordy got me kind of going.
She wants that Jordy D, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
She remembers the helicopter Nick scene.
Yeah, because that cut out, so it was affecting everybody. Even Riker was like, oh, like he wanted some of that. You know, she was thinking like, oh, I wonder what he can do with that visor too. You know, it's like... So we cut back to the bridge. And Data's think, you know, is cross-referencing, you know, because he couldn't find it originally. So he starts trying, you know, he says he's cross-referencing something else. And he's like, as he's putting it up, Picard comes back in, and then Riker immediately turns to Picard and says, I think we have something. Then Data pulls it up. Like, Data never said, I have it. He goes, ooh, cross-referencing. And then he's like, I think we have something, Captain. And then Data... Yeah. Then
that's
Data,
just a little fuck up.
Yeah, it's like it's like, you know, oh, pulling the cart before the horse there, huh?
Or maybe Data did a little head nod, like, yeah, like, yo, let me check this out. Yeah, like, he didn't have to say it.
I got this. I got this.
Or maybe just Data's so fucking good, they knew he was gonna have it anyway. I was a fucking ass, which is true.
Yeah. So
I'm justifying everything.
I know, he's like, you're not gonna destroy.
Stop making fun of Star Trek.
So one of the things was funny was they brought up, and then of course this is when they mentioned James T. Kirk and the original Enterprise, and
nice little throwback.
Yeah, the call log
for the people who haven't caught on yet.
Right, exactly. The one thing that struck me was funny was his the use of download this to medical. And I'm like, really?
Because they don't have to do that. This is like stuff that is established because the computer on the Enterprise is painfully obvious later on that it's interconnected. You don't have to download anything.
Let's be real. Networked computers are not, you know, it's not like they haven't been invented yet.
However, downloading something to another area in the 80s, that makes sense because the computers, they were connected, but the connections were so slow that you would have to send specific information to areas.
Stop trying to justify
everything. No, I'm not justifying anything. I'm trying to say that's probably why they said it like that. But to not sit there and assume that maybe in the 24th century they figured out a way around that.
Yeah, it's like,
is a little, you know, stupid.
You know, why don't they just say, go ahead and Instagram this to Dr. Crusher.
Hey, yo, I'm going to throw this up on my Facebook, though.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Like, but, it, yo, so she can see it.
You know what would have been cool? A meerkat this to Dr. Crusher.
Meerkat. Hey, I got Crusher on Tinder, though. You know, I swipe left. I swipe left all night.
I swipe left on Tinder. All of a sudden it goes contact Starfleet Command. You see like the Skype logo pop up. Yeah.
Microsoft throwing their bid in.
Oh man. So they send the information. They're downloading it to sickbay. So now here's where it gets a little weird, as if the episode wasn't already weird enough. Troy, who's sporting a new hairdo by this point, she's not, you know, she's wearing kind of close to what she normally wears for most of the first
the
half
bun.
Of the little bun and the really kind of tight top that really shows.
Is she cleavage yet? Yeah, because only Farpoint was no cleavage,
right,
I think.
Yeah. And then when she started wearing the uniform towards like seasons like 5 and 6.
Yeah, but that doesn't count because that was dumb. That was all built on the whole "I'm gonna go for command" line. It's like, for what? You're a fucking counselor. Like, who gives a fuck?
You're commander of psychology.
Because she had to be captain for like a couple hours.
Right, right, yeah. And she couldn't senior fucking, officer on the bridge. Yeah,
yeah. She couldn't decide on anything. Like, that just means you're dumb. That's not your command.
So, Troy goes into her quarters. And who does she find in her quarters rummaging through her fucking closet? It's Yar.
Bitch, what?
And she's like, this is what's strange. I'm thinking of changing my look. And she's taking all of Troy's clothes and putting it on. Keep in mind that Troy is a little more developed and shorter than Yar.
Significantly, like a head shorter.
Yeah. And she's like putting her clothes. And there's this little weird moment where she's like, you know, kind of almost a little bit coming on to Troy. And for me, this was a bit of a missed Lesbo moment. Like,
yeah,
this episode could have been extremely better if she just reached over and kissed her.
Could have been progressive as fuck.
Exactly, you know.
That's a guaranteed Lesbo moment in the 21st century, I'll tell you that much.
Exactly, you know, because, you know, Yar is still helicopter dick turned on right there, and you know,
Troy has heard about that helicopter. Yeah,
and she's sensing it from Yar.
Medical downloaded the helicopter dick to the bridge.
It's played on the 24th century YouTube bit.
It's a fucking meme.
It's already a meme on the ice.
Wesley commented, "All right."
Worf even commented and said, "My bat left doesn't have as much prowess as helicopter dick."
Even Picard liked it.
Yeah, he just gave it the thumbs up. Yep.
Short but sweet.
Riker put his own meme on there.
I could see Riker making memes
of himself.
Yeah. Of him with that iconic where he puts one when he's talking to Data at comms and he has to put that one leg on the fucking podium because he's too fucking cool to just stand there.
Stand there next to him. He's like, "I gotta lean and look at this." It's like ladies.
Excuse me, but let me be a fucking boss right now.
I need to let the boys swing. I want to lean off this console.
I would be completely okay if I heard Riker, "Data, let me be 100% with you right now." All right, like, start getting real fucking gangster on this shit. Riker's one of my favorite characters of all Star Trek.
Yeah, he's one of mine too. I always liked Riker. But it was just weird, you know, like the way she kind of came out. And then, of course, you know, she infects Troy by touching her.
Yeah, she does.
She put that short haircut to some use.
Dude, the curtains matched the drapes, though. That's what I'm talking.
And then, so of course, you know, before it gets too hot and heavy for 1987, Yar leaves very badly drunk acting.
Or
just like stumbling. Now, this is one thing, you know, for taking theater and stuff like that, the one thing that you learn about being drunk is the whole concept of playing drunk is to play you're not drunk.
Because that's what drunk people are doing.
When you're drunk, you're like, "I'm not drunk," you know, and you're trying to be as stable as possible, which fails dramatically. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. And when people
don't try to be drunk,
yeah,
because then you're just going to be a caricature of a drunk person.
Exactly, you're going to look like Adam on St. Patrick's Day.
Straight up,
yeah. So,
speaking of which, side note: this is like an Easter egg in the Star Trek podcast because it has nothing to do with Star Trek. I finally got around to trying Guinness Blonde. Steve, do you know what Guinness Blonde is?
No.
So it's Guinness's attempt at an American lager.
Really?
So they used American hops, but with Guinness yeast. This shit is so fucking good. I've drank three of them motherfuckers last night. I was like, "When Irish eyes are smiling." And I wasn't playing
at singing Danny Buzz. Boy.
I wasn't playing at BM Buzz. I was. Because it still has the Guinness alcohol content. Anyway, that's the Easter egg. Sing, you know, you gotta. It's like a search and find.
Were you singing Danny Boy at the?
No, because that's a sad song. I'm not gonna sing Danny Boy. I still take my hat off when I hear Danny Boy, and I don't even know why. I'll just, if I hear it, I'm like, "Oh shit!"
It's ingrained in your. It's ingrained in your DNA.
It's because it usually means somebody's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song. But yeah, it is. Well, because you'd hear it all the time in Boston. Fucking every funeral. Oh, Danny boy. And you'd be like, shit, somebody died again. What the fuck? You doing the cross and shit.
Right. So now here we go to show Dark. Now, I know Adam loves Beverly Crusher.
I do.
But we got to admit, she wasn't the most brightest doctor in the first season.
Well, no one was that bright in the first season, and I will justify Crusher. How dare you? No, she was a dumbass.
So Wesley comes in. Hey, Wesley. Well, see what I can do. You know? And he was levitating something.
He was the best drunk person in the episode.
Exactly. And he's like, what, 14?
Because he was just so fucking happy. That's all. Yeah. He's like, hey, man, check this shit out.
Yeah. And like, you know, the mom's like, Wesley, I don't have time for this. You know, kind of scolds him. He's like, okay. And he's like, oh, is it hot in here? She knows he's infected, yet lets him leave sick bay.
Yeah. She looks up, huh? And then goes, ah, fuck it.
Like, and you know, and the bridge calls her and she's like, you know, like she knows, like she doesn't say, Wesley, get back here. No, she lets the fucking kid go. Which in turn causes the whole problem with the Enterprise. Yeah.
And it establishes.
She should be held court-martial.
Right? Let's calm down. All right. later in the episode, it's established that, well, it's kind of obvious that her quarantining anyone is kind of dumb because there's so many people. Right. You know, but she probably could have stopped that if she just would have locked Geordi somewhere.
Right.
I mean, maybe they didn't want to lock up a black man.
Yeah, could be. Wouldn't be politically correct. It you would. Know? And then, of course, we see Yar continuing to
to fail at her job at an actress.
Exactly. And makes out with some random dude who's significantly shorter than her, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was. It looks so awkward.
He's like, he kind of looked like this dude like in high
school. She's kind of tall, isn't she? She's like 6 foot or something. She's got to be.
Well, maybe. I don't know, or he was standing in a, you know, she was on an Apple box, you know. So then we cut to engineering, because everything always leads to engineering, especially in this episode.
Even the lame engineering that it is in this episode.
Right. So we get a first look at the chief engineer, which is a lady, and then some random dude leaves Wesley in charge of the fuck as a fucking duty officer. Because
you notice too that the first season has some ugly motherfuckers on this ship.
Oh, I know.
And then right? All of a sudden everybody just gets real handsome and pretty.
Yeah, exactly. So we have the chief engineer lady, because we discover Wesley has the ability to basically Stephen Hawking, Captain Picard's voice on the comm system. So he orders the chief engineer to bridge. And then
you would think that would be a security issue as soon as he showed it to somebody.
Exactly.
Well, he showed it to Geordi. I guess Geordi wouldn't give a fuck at that point, but yeah. Still.
Yeah, because you do anything online, it immediately gets shut down. You know,
yeah.
Someone should have sent him a patent troll, right. A patent troll a cease and desist order.
Well, no, my always have had that problem with that part is because he developed that before he got the virus thing.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be super fucking wicked smart. He would know that he's fucking up by right. doing that, because it's all the whole ship is voice coded.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's also a teenager.
That's true too. Because he might just not give a fuck.
He might just be like, "Oh, this is fun," to prove he can do it, and then not use it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
we just meta that entire fucking bit. We're adding so much depth.
I know we are. So and then there's left with some weird looking dude who's supposed to be the assistant chief engineer, and then of course Wesley summons him somewhere and he's like, I can't leave engineering alone. And so instead of questioning the order, he leaves Wesley in charge of engineering.
Yeah.
So
I'll watch things while you're gone, boss. Like, come on,
for real, dude. I know, come on. It's just
with an epidemic going on in the ship.
And this is Picard's ship. Yeah. So then, of course, we cut back to the bridge and we find that the engineer arrives there saying his order. And he said, I never ordered you up here. You know, get back to engineering because we need we need to get away from this star before it explodes, which is always the peril because the ship always has to be in some type
of. They need to move and the ship won't move.
Right. And then, of course, acting Captain Wesley Crusher comes over the fucking.
It was the funniest part of the damn show with that first time, the look on Picard's face.
Oh, it's like, oh, this now is
he goes, acting captain.
So like, oh, so bad. And then, you know, even for like Picard, you're like, ooh, damn, dude, come on.
Where's that Shakespearean acting school?
Exactly, dude. Then of course, the engineering is everybody on the ship is getting drunk.
Turn up. Just, oh my
God. Bad acting all around. People overplaying it so bad.
It is one of the harder things to play, though. It's exactly what you said. You have to really know how to do it. Because I've seen a lot of people pretend to be drunk, and they all look fucking stupid.
Yeah, you have people that can pretend to be drunk, but at the same time, you either have people just... And here's the thing. What this is supposed to be, you're supposed to be acting drunk. So you have people that are either... I got this. They're like trying to be sober. And then you have other people that are just like, fuck it, dude. You know, just like chilling out, smoking. But that would have been awesome, dude. If somebody turned you see like somebody turning a phaser into a bong.
Yeah. Getting real fucking turned up. What the fuck is going on? You
open up sick bay. There's like this haze inside. Everybody's all fucking stoned for
shit. Partisan here, dude.
So, of course, Wesley amps up the peril for the Enterprise because he puts the repulsor beam in engineering and locks everybody out.
And that other dude's pulling out all the control chips.
Right, right.
Too.
Yeah. And so then, of course, we come to the infamous scene between, well, let me just call it the fateful dildo scene.
Yes.
Where they decide... I can't remember why Captain Picard sent Data to get Yar, because I think they found out she's infected or something.
Well, didn't they assume
They called her. No, they called her, and she said she was busy now. She was supposed to... Okay, here's the part that got me. She was supposed to be busy with some dude. Remember, they called her, and she's like, I'm kind of busy right now. So he sends Data to go get Yar. And then Data gets to her thing, and she's there by herself in some, you know... supposedly suggestive dress, which just shows her belly button, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, she gives her little backstory about how she survived the rape gangs, which
she gives every episode that she's right, in.
Which I thought was a little like, okay, that's kind of like...
Way to kill the mood.
I know. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, when you're dating that girl and things like that, it's like, I got to tell you first. No, don't tell me anything because you're just about to change. Yeah, you're about to change everything really quickly. I've been right...
You know what can really, soften your disposition? You're about to have sex with a chick and then she mentions she was raped.
Yeah.
And if you're a decent person, you're like, I don't want to have sex with this woman now.
Suddenly you look at your bare wrist and go, ooh, look at the time. I got to go. I got that thing in the morning. And yeah, if I don't get there, the company's going to fold.
I only have 10 minutes as the crow flies. I need to dip. You start talking in weird fucking things.
So, of course... she finds out that Data's fully functional.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah, and then pulls him into her room, and then the door's closed.
Smile on his face.
I know, it's like, wow. She came out so damn strong, too.
Oh, she wanted the D. Like, that was it, dude.
Oh, yeah. Here's another one that comes up strong. So, Riker's in engineering with the chief engineer trying to get that repulsor beam out so they can get to engineering because, you know, all the chips are out and they need to get out of there. Troy struts in there.
Yeah, she does.
And then she's like, she calls, this is the only, I think the only time we ever hear her call him Bill.
Did she call him Bill?
Yeah.
I thought she said Will.
No, she called him Bill. I actually checked it twice that she called him Bill. And
she calls him Will all the time.
Yeah, she calls him Will all the time. But dude, she came on so strong. Like, she wanted that D now. Like, she's like, don't you think about us? And I'm like, damn. no foreplay, no dinner first. It's just like, let's get going. So Riker picks her up and then goes to take her to sick bay.
The way Troy is acting is yet another perfect example
of why she's useless.
No. Of not knowing the character yet, because her character is overly emotional because she's a beta Zed.
Right.
Like, she's very in tune with her emotions. So it makes sense for her to act this way.
Right.
Like, she's crippled by her fucking emotions.
Right.
You know, but at this point, she just looks like a fucking groupie. Yeah. You know Riker got them groupie bitches.
He's like, okay, I'm going to take you to sickbay. But first, we'll dip in here.
here's another Easter egg secret. And I don't think I ever told you this, Steve. I named my son William, and I told my wife that it was because of a king or some fucking dumb shit. It was Riker. And I just didn't think she would let it fly if it was a Star Trek character. So I just fucking named him William Alexander. Alexander? From the fucking Klingon kid?
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if I could get away with it, and I didn't. No, Alexander's just a coincidence. I actually named him after Alexander the Great, but William was yeah. William was fucking Riker, because I keep it G, dude.
Yeah. So, at this point, Beverly finally gets the fucking the records from, because you know they don't even use ISD end lines, you know, in 24th century. So it took a while for that QuickTime player to play back the records from the old Enterprise.
Yeah. So she put the tape in.
Yeah. So she does the first test on Geordi, because you obviously make the first test on the black person. Mm-hmm. Because they're secretly racist. And plus he was Kunta Kinte en route, so mates, that's a natural progression.
Your name is Toby Kunta Kinte. Dude, that scene is so badass.
Oh, I know, dude. But but it doesn't work.
What, Kunta Kinte? That's fucked up, dude. Why? Because he was a slave that didn't want to do slave work. He didn't
exactly
work.
And because he was up. In his mind, he was like, "I'm not Toby, so this." The solution doesn't work.
You're officially crossing the streams now.
All right. So Beverly does the test on Geordi, and it doesn't work because then the episode would be over. So right.
And we're only about 30 minutes in.
Right. So yeah, exactly. So Riker touches Crusher because, you know, he says the test doesn't work, and with Troy. And suddenly, out of nowhere, she goes, "Oh my gosh, she touched you, and you just touched me, and so you gave it to me." Like, she figured out that it passed through touching, but never told anyone.
Yeah, I know. She should have probably told somebody.
Yeah, like the captain, maybe, or like
she Riker. Kept that secret to herself, didn't she?
Exactly. She's like, "And you gave it to me." It's like, wait, you discovered this, and you didn't tell anyone?
The more we explain this episode, the more I'm realizing it makes utterly no sense. Because everyone's like, incompetent as fuck on this ship.
So there's
very little Captain Picard in this episode, by the way.
There is, and Wesley puts Picard in his place.
Yeah, he does.
Because when he's talking about, you know, Picard's trying to use reverse psychology on Wesley to get command of his ship back, and he's like, "It's my ship, you know, I need control of it." And then Wesley just smacks him down like, "But you only give the orders. Everybody else does the work." It's like, oh, damn.
Like, completely made you look like a bitch. And you even saw the change in Picard's face. Like, this little fucker, I'm going to kick his ass.
I'm going to shove him through the emergency airlock.
That's located on the bridge. Isn't that window, because a lot of people don't know this, but the bridge of the Enterprise, there's a window on the ceiling.
Yeah,
isn't that the emergency hatch?
Yeah, I guess
I think
you
it is
climb up 8 feet to climb out the emergency window.
Yeah.
So, you know, Worf notices that the navigation dude is feeling a little funky, and
he looks sick though. He wasn't acting silly.
Yeah. So so of course they, you know, the explanation that the virus makes you drunk, gives you the illusions of being drunk, and you know, slowly you start realizing that Picard is kind of affected, because like with the engineering stuff, he just doesn't seem to have the kind of urgencies. Slowly, it's like suddenly he changed.
Well, he was having a hard time like making decisions, like he wasn't focused.
Right. So, like, So this there was this the scene where, you know, Crusher's trying to figure out what's going on, and she's pushing her hair back, claiming that it's so hot. She's trying to. I was thinking she should have just grabbed Jordy's eye visor and then used that hair clip on her.
That would have been too funny.
That would have been like awesome if she just like just walks over to Jordy, pulls off his visor, opens up the clip, and puts her hair.
And that was some '80s hair too, wasn't it? And she was not moving that out of the way.
That was big ass hair.
Yeah.
So Data finally returns to the bridge without a cigarette, which kind of surprised
me. That would have been funny. He had Lucky Strike hanging out of his mouth and shit.
It's
no awesome. Filter on that
no
bitch.
No filter on that, yeah. So at this point, Data's affected. So
that was the stupidest part of the episode.
Yeah. It's like,
and the only explanation, we're more alike than you think. No, asshole. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. It's like, it's through water vapors absorbed through the skin. You're an android. There's no way.
If they were trying to establish that he has like fluid systems inside of him, fine. But if you're saying that a virus can contaminate an android as well, the only explanation is that virus is synthetic in nature, that right. someone created it. And now you're adding too many layers to the show, and it's like 45 minutes in. You know, so that was dumb.
So you have Jesus. So you have that, and you have Picard starting to know that he's losing control, and you see that he's hating it. He's starting, and then Crusher comes to the bridge, and I don't really understand why she came up to the bridge, but she's explaining that it's affecting everybody, like alcohol and all this stuff. And then slowly she's starting to, like, out of nowhere, just like wants that captain dick.
Didn't she unzip her top a little?
Yeah, she unzipped her top.
A little sexy, dude.
Yeah, a little like there, and like she's pushing up against him, and it's like, damn, she's like, you know, she wanted to feel that bald head, you know.
The thing I don't get is, everyone's supposed to be drunk. Why does everyone just desperately want to fuck? Because like, sure, I've had sex while I'm drunk, but that's not the only thing I think about when I'm drinking. It seems like everybody just wants to fuck, especially the chicks. And I think that's sexist. Like, these girls are just horny fucking animals when they drink.
It's like we're officers. We have to have this decorum. Oh, fuck it. I just take the whole. I'll take all engineering. You take all of. You take all of deck six.
He couldn't even. You know what though? I think he should have gave her the D. He couldn't even fucking control the ship anyway because he had 5 minutes. Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw one real quick.
Exactly. You know, you're going down. Yeah. So like so. You know, they're both fighting to retain control, and then she goes down to try to says that she's going to do more testing, and they do this like little awkward wave, like bye kind of thing. Like suddenly they digress to like being teenagers.
Yeah.
And
then he spin on his heel or some silly shit.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so now you got this whole thing where the outer layer of the planet, the star started to collapse in on itself, and they're towing the Tchaikovsky with them, and a chunk of the planet is heading towards the Enterprise, and they don't have enough time to get out of the way. So, I almost said a word that I should have. I wasn't gonna say, but idiot assistant chief engineer dude, who probably got shoved out an airlock after this, had removed all the isolinear chips out of the computer. They have no control over anything. They finally break down the repulsor beam, and then they try to get in there to reset the chips, but they won't have enough time. But of course. They come up Wesley comes up with a solution. He's drunk and he's coming up with all the solutions, and says like,
"Oh, he's just that fucking smart."
Yeah, like, it's like Data can put back the chips, and he says Data will, you know, do it more than enough time that, you know, they'll give them the time they need. So Data comes in, you're drunk, and she's like, "It's a game." Like somehow that's supposed to make it easier for him to understand.
Well, that's another where they're confusing drunk with being a child, because you would tell a child that to get them to do something like, oh, it's a game, who can do it faster,
right? So Data starts doing it, and if you look at the pitch, if you look at the video of him speeding up, it's they recycle the same image like two or three times.
Yeah, they do.
Because of course they couldn't film different shots of him doing it at different times. It
costs too much money.
Right, exactly. But of course, Data gives the news that it's going to take more time than they have. Now Riker suddenly notices he has it because he started to sweat. He gets pissed when he has it. He's like, "Damn it, I can't have this," you know. And now, at a time of peril, the captain goes down to Crusher's office.
Yeah, he does.
He goes to Crusher's office, calls her Bev.
And the only time he's ever called her Bev, too. So yeah. This episode is has two names in it that are only heard once.
Right. Yeah, he calls her Bev. And, you know, he's fighting it. He's trying to stay on track. And then she made some modifications to the antidote. And then gives it to Geordi. Of course, you know, it's funny because, you know, it's like she finds a solution. And, of course, she's going to test it on patient zero instead of maybe, you know, someone else. You know, but
fuck
no.
That.
She has to test it on Geordi because he's patient zero and he's black.
In her defense, Geordi is in sick bay.
So are all these other people.
Well, I think, too, Geordi, because the thing was is that it gave you a fever. So Geordi was farther along and he was like too sick to move around. Mm. I'm not justifying. I'm just trying to, I'm trying to find some logic in this fucking episode.
So, but at the same time, Wesley comes up with a solution.
Cause he's running the show.
Exactly. Cause he's the one making the choices, not the captain.
It gets to the point where you're like, I think he should be the captain.
Yeah, exactly. Captain Wesley Crusher at this point. So he decides to, because the whole repulsor beam was not just simply a plot device, because they used it in a couple of other moments during the episode to push the Enterprise off of the Grissom. I mean, not the Grissom, the Tchaikovsky.
The fuck?
And it deflecting it off should give them enough time to enter in all the isolinear chips and get the ship out of there. So of course, you know, they go ahead and use the hypo spray on they use the test on Geordi, and it works.
Use the hyper spray on Data.
I know.
Also, you skipped over one of the funniest lines of the episode. When Riker asks Data, are you going to have enough time to put those chips in? The way he delivers no is hilarious. Nope.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, literally just like, because you kind of forget he has no emotions. He's like, nope, there won't be enough time to do this. Like, we're all going to die, asshole.
Exactly. You better go and fuck the chief engineer right now. Cause
you go fuck Troy. Picard, go fuck Bev, because I've already fuck Yar, so we're handling business. We're around good. Here.
We good.
I'm all good. I haven't even showered yet, motherfucker.
But if you notice, the one person that was never affected was Worf.
Yeah, but Worf was like barely in the show.
Yeah, but so was that dude that was sitting next to him who had no lines and was only in it for one shot. And
well, okay, let's again try to find some logic, right?
No! No!
If you notice, a few characters weren't affected as severely. And one being like Riker, Picard, the Beverly. Chief engineer. Right? They weren't affected as bad. Now these characters, especially Picard and Riker, have like more mental fucking focus than some of the other crew.
Mental discipline. Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't Worf have that discipline as well? So he might have been affected. He just could fight it better than everybody else. Because we don't know how it affected Klingons, because there were no Klingons on the original Enterprise.
Yeah.
But they didn't explain any of that, so I'm just going off canon and just trying to fucking work it out.
You kind of figure with Worf, he probably would have got it and then all of a sudden said, you know, today's a good day to die, kill everybody on the bridge.
Worf, probably the reason why we didn't see Worf is he noticed that he was getting drunk and he just went to his quarters and did a fucking, like, some exercise.
he did a barrel of, like, Klingon blood wine and he was good to go.
He did the pain stick walk that he did.
Now, this introduced the new hypo spray for the next generation. So of course,
I dig that hyperspray.
But everybody, you know, now of course they're using the hyposprays on everyone, which didn't seem all that sanitary, because like you would go from person to person hitting him with the same hypospray.
Dude, everybody's already sick.
Yeah, I know, what's the worst that's gonna happen, right?
They're all gonna die. I'm fucking scared.
But yeah,
I think a lot of stuff in Star Trek is just assumed that it's not an issue anymore, like infections and stuff like that.
So
this is a perfect episode, and you're just tearing it down. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's what you're trying to say. So all of that, you know, they use the hyperspray. Everybody's fine. The Enterprise warps out instead of hitting full impulse and getting out of the way. Damn. They warp speed out of the area.
Like warp 9.8. Get the fuck out of here.
It's the recycled footage from the opening sequence of The Next Generation.
Didn't they flipped it though? I think it was like going a different direction or something like that.
They probably reversed flipped the image, but yeah, it like took right off. I'm like, really? You had to go to warp speed to get out of there?
You know what though? I would too. I'm fucking out this bitch. I would never do impulse. I'd be fucking warp speed everywhere. It's like, we can go this fast, motherfucker.
If you look really closely, Picard's fingers signals deuces as it's warping. Doot doot. So of course everybody gets back to the bridge, and of course there's that awkward moment between Data and Yar, and Yar simply says it never happened,
which was kind of funny, but I mean
it would have been funnier if Data was like
threw a wink or something. Hey.
You know, or just simply said my records indicate it did happen, in fact you know something.
The famous cutoff Data before he says something
right
stupid thing. Yeah, that probably would have worked better.
Yeah,
but we didn't write the show in 1987.
So of course, you know, they, you know, like, okay, going on to the next mission, you know, everything will be fine as long as we could avoid temptation,
which was I want to fuck the doctor.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of like okay, that was weird.
I noticed that in Memory Alpha that explains, where is it at? Oh fuck it, I remember it. I don't know what I'm looking for. So I said that they removed those glass dividers from engineering, because this is the only episode where you accidentally see a member of the production crew.
Because you see
the cameraman's reflection in the glass.
Yeah.
So that's probably where they were like, get these fucking out of here. We can't. You're breaking the fourth wall, buddy.
Yeah, I totally forgot. When I was looking at engineering, when they first showed it, I was like, what's missing? There's something missing. And yeah, it was the pool. The pool table.
Yeah. And those dividers. Those dividers were stupid. They just didn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. All right, so that is it for the well-crafted, meticulously detailed episode of Star Trek Next Generation, Naked Now.
You know what? Mm. If you thought this episode was bad, the next episode is Code of Honor.
Oh.
That is not only a Yar episode. Yeah, they had those.
Yeah, which is also considered a yawn episode.
But it was a stupid, stupid plot.
Yeah.
It just made no sense.
An episode where we get to see Yar's amazing combat skills.
Yeah. I don't know. Being a little liberal with the term amazing. And also, too, like, a lot of people.
1987 hour-long television amazing.
So essentially, like, okay, in Code of Honor, it's like the culture is inspired from like Africa. It's basically like Black Panther's fucking family, like from Wakanda, you know. But the way it's depicted, just, it felt racist to me. Like, I don't know. Like, and of course, the black people solve everything by combat, and they take women that they want. Right. And, you know, it's just a little heavy-handed. But
also in this one, because it is a combat episode, be prepared to see amazing, amazing false wigs on stuntmen people.
Yes.
Because if you thought the one in Encounter at Farpoint, with the strategically placed hand in front of the face in the camera where she just kicked some dude that needed a stuntman to kick some dude, you're going to be in for an amazing treat.
Ooh, perfect. Exactly what I said. This, I'm going a little ahead of myself, but in the reception area of Memory Alpha for Code of Honor, as noted in the TNG companion, Tracy Torme was embarrassed by what he called a, quote, 1940s tribal Africa view of Africans in this episode. I fucking called it. I told you. And Jonathan Franks refers to this episode as, quote, racist piece of shit. That's a quote. I'm actually looking forward to next episode because we're going to rip this fucking episode to shreds.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.